Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It takes months to plan an event like the Independence Day celebration at Mount Rushmore on July 3rd, and we're still learning about the details of funding the fireworks. SDPB's Seth Tupper is with us now with a look at how this story has unfolded and what might happen next. And he's joining us today from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio and SDPB's Black Hills studio. Hey, Seth, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's start all the way back in January, because planning something like this takes months. And in January, we were getting wind that they were pursuing it. Tell me, go back to then before before pandemic stories sort of took over the airwaves, and tell me how the initial conversations about the 4th of July unfolded, and how, particularly when it comes to funding.
Right. So, last year was when Governor Noem and the federal government came out and said they were working on a plan to bring the fireworks back after there hadn't been fireworks for about a decade at Mount Rushmore. So that work continued. And in January, I did an interview with Secretary Jim Hagan of the State Tourism Department, where I asked him a number of things about the fireworks and the planning, and why he thought it was a good thing to have fireworks. He views it as exposure for the South Dakota tourism industry, with images and footage of Mount Rushmore and fireworks beamed all over the world. And I also asked him about the costs and who was going to pay for the fireworks. And this is what he said at that time.
In my opinion, I think a lot of the costs can be borne by sponsorship. Those are areas that we're pursuing.
Sponsorships, and then COVID-19 came to South Dakota. We talked with Secretary Hagan, I believe, in March or May, and he was saying, we're still working on the planning because, we need to be prepared for something. Let's jump ahead a little bit to when we knew for sure this was going to happen and how people were going to gather for the event. We're talking like June now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so throughout the, when the COVID scare really hit South Dakota in March, there were a lot of questions, obviously, as you said, but would they still go ahead and do the fireworks? And nobody really knew until for sure, until June 4th. And that was the day that Governor Noem had Secretary Hagan from the Tourism Department with her in her daily press conference on COVID-19 that she did for quite some time. And they announced that there would be a lottery for the fireworks for people to attend, that there would be 7,500 people who would be allowed in, but they would have to enter in this online lottery and hope that they got tickets. And they outlined some of the details of the event and said they were going forward with it. They didn't say anything about the cost of the event or who would pay for it. In the meantime, in the months and weeks leading up to that, I had been asking the tourism department if they had awarded a vendor contract to actually shoot off the fireworks display, which I knew would be a pretty big contract. And so I'd been in touch with them. And that day of the press conference, I asked again. And tourism spokeswoman Caitlin Richter told me in an email that the contract had been awarded to Pyro Spectaculars, which is a California company. And the contract value was up to $350,000. And I asked her about the funding source, where the money for that was going to come from. And she wrote in an email to me, quote, "The cost for the fireworks event is covered by many entities, including the state of South Dakota, which will be dispersed across several departments for the event. Those details are continuing to be worked out. When we have something to share, we will." And so again, that was June 4th.
June 4th. But then it turns out that some checks are already being cut, or how do we sort of find out about the future fund?
Yeah, so I didn't know about this, and the world at large apparently didn't know about this. But 13 days after I received that email, the state did cut a check from the Future Fund for $175,000 to Pyro Spectaculars, which was half the contract amount, with the rest to be paid later. And the Future Fund is a fund that the governor has complete control of and discretion on how to spend. The state law that created it says that it's supposed to be for, quote, research and economic development. And it was created in 1987 at the urging of then-governor, the late George Mikkelsen, who was in his first term, and that was his first State of the State speech. He proposed a very ambitious economic development program and said this about the Future Fund.
"The second part of the legislative program that I will introduce will be truly an investment in South Dakota's future. It will be for long-term investments. It will be for building the infrastructure. I said earlier that too often politicians are attracted to short-term programs so that by the next election they might be able to point back and look at benefits or look at results. The courageous politicians are people who are willing to look at the long term and make a long-term investment in what we believe is right.
Again, that's the voice of late Governor George Mikkelsen, recorded in 1987, as he's talking there about what this future fund should be. And our guest today on In the Moment is Seth Tupper with South Dakota Public Broadcasting, who's kind of walking us through the process for what we learned about how much the fireworks celebration at the 4th of July was going to cost and where that money was going to come from. But Seth, where does the money for the future fund come from? How does that fund get filled?
When it was created in 1987 by the legislature, at Governor Mikkelsen's urging, it was basically done by peeling off some of the tax that employers pay on wages to employees. And that tax had, to that point, gone all to the unemployment fund to pay out unemployment benefits when people lose jobs through no fault of their own. But they basically peeled off a little bit of that money and redirected it to go into this future fund, and that's still the case today. It's essentially a tax on employers on the wages that they pay to their employees, and a small amount goes into this future fund, and it has built up over the years, and there's $23 million roughly in the fund currently. And again, the governor can decide where to spend that money and who to give it to, and typically it's given to kind of typical average economic development projects. Local economic development groups get some of that money. The Underground Science Lab in Lead has gotten some of that money. The South Dakota Parks and Wildlife Foundation has gotten some of that money. Every governor approaches it a little bit differently, but that's some of the uses that have been typical in recent years. And I was going to say, George Mikkelsen, he had something to say about his vision for how that money would be spent. In 1987, this is how he envisioned it would be spent.
We need an automated networking system for libraries. We need more money in the Superior Scholar Program. We need to increase our National Merit Scholar programs and valedictorian programs for our best and brightest kids that are graduating from our secondary schools to go to school in South Dakota.
All right, so let's talk about how this process of using the future fund for the fireworks unfolded. And, we're getting close to Fireworks Day, and you reach out to Maggie Seidel, who is an advisor to the governor. Tell me a little bit about what you were looking for from her at that point.
So it's Monday before the Friday fireworks. It's Monday, June 29th, before Friday, July 3rd. And at this point, neither I nor apparently anyone else, at least nobody had reported that the future fund would be used to pay for the cost of the fireworks. I was still operating on the assumption that they were still trying to get sponsorship. So I called Maggie Seidel, who's an advisor to the governor who deals with the media a lot, and I asked her that Monday, again 4 days before the fireworks, if she could tell me anything about the total costs and the funding sources for the fireworks event. And again, I knew nothing about the future fund payout yet, and this is what she said at that time.
No, I don't have anything on that. The only thing that we've provided is that it'll be a joint cost sharing operation as it relates to funding.
All right, now I want to go back real quick before we say more about that, because you were told that the details were continuing to be worked out. When we have something to share, we will. And that was from the Tourism Department on June 4th. Now we're on Monday, June 29th, and you're being told we don't have anything on that yet. It's going to be a joint cost-sharing operation as it relates to funding. But unbeknownst to you, some of the funding has already been being paid out.
Yeah, 12 days earlier, the state had cut a check from the future fund for that $175,000 to Pyro Spectaculars. And the way I found that out was after I hung up with Maggie Seidel. I went to the website OpenSD, which was created during the Governor Mike Rounds administration a couple of governors ago, where anybody in the public, reporters, can look around in that website and look at the state's checkbook and where they've cut checks to, and look up employee salaries and other things. So I went looking for Pyro Spectaculars, just thinking maybe they had already paid some of the money, and that's when I found the $175,000 payment to Pyro Spectaculars and saw that it had been paid out of the future fund. And that was news to me and news to the state. And so then I wrote a story at the time talking about that, the fact that some of the money had come out of the future fund.
Now, you had said the governor gets to make these decisions, but do lawmakers have any say over what decisions the governor makes? What did you learn from South Dakota state lawmakers?
They don't really have any say, and that has at times been a sore point between legislators and the governor, between different governors and different legislators, because the governor at any time can decide to spend this money, and the legislature may not know about it, may not approve of the way it's spent, but they don't really have any power over that. So I did call a couple of legislators on the Appropriations Committee, including Reynold Nessebo, who's a Democrat from Sioux Falls, and Taffy Howard, who's a Republican from Rapid City, and they both said that they disapproved of spending future fund dollars on fireworks. Here's what Taffy Howard said.
I don't think it's a good use of tax dollars at all. I mean, I'm all for Trump visiting. I fully support that. I just don't believe that that's the proper use of tax dollars.
The governor's office have any thoughts on some of those responses?
Yeah, so I called Maggie Seidel back, and again, this is now a couple of days before the fireworks, and told her what I had learned, that I had learned that there had been money from the Future Fund already paid out for the fireworks, and that some legislators weren't fully supportive of that. And this was her response.
Here's what I can tell you on that. The state of South Dakota is going to pay for the fireworks, and there's cost share for the event with the federal government.
And then you asked her if she thought it was a good idea for the future fund, because that seems to be a pertinent question for lawmakers and for the governor's office. And here's what Maggie Seidel had to say.
When we're talking about how awesome of an event this is, I think that it's a very good use of taxpayer money.
So, Seth, go back to the sponsorships, because I'm still thinking about that January conversation. Were there sponsorships, were people approached for sponsorships? Did that idea just completely go away? What did you learn about that?
I asked Seidel about that at the time, again, a couple days before the fireworks, and she said I'd have to talk to the tourism department about that. So I left several messages by email and phone with the tourism department. They didn't respond at the time. Since then, just last week, I have gotten a response from the tourism department from Secretary Hagan, who said that there was a decision made during the early days of the COVID outbreak that they would just not ask for sponsorships because so many businesses involved in tourism that would have been hit up for sponsorships were faced with so much uncertainty and with a declining revenue that they just decided not to pursue sponsorships.
All right, let's we go to the event and we see that it's a pretty large event. There's an elaborate stage and flyovers and performers and all kinds of things are happening. What does that tell us about the cost of this event once we saw how it was actually, pulled off?
Well, it would indicate that certainly there were a lot more costs than just the fireworks, right? And that's what the $350,000 from the Future Fund was for, just for the cost of shooting the fireworks to pay Pyro Spectaculars, the company from California that shot the fireworks off. So when you look, again, as you mentioned, at aerial footage, a live stream, a stage, musical performers, all these things, you realize the costs may be adding up. So the Monday after the fireworks, I started calling Maggie Seidel in the governor's office again and Caitlin Richter in the tourism department and asking for a full listing of the costs and the funding sources. And on Monday, I was told that there would be something soon. I checked on Tuesday. I was told we're working on it. Wednesday, again, I checked on it. Thursday, the tourism department, last Thursday, sent out a news release. And in that news release was a long release, and the top of it was basically the tourism department stating their estimates that they believe that the fireworks resulted in the equivalent of $22 million in advertising, basically, for South Dakota tourism. And they had an estimate that visitors to the event probably spent an estimated $2 million in the area, which would have generated an estimated $160,000 in sales taxes. Google searches skyrocketed, et cetera. And then they disclosed finally that the event cost the state $1.5 million total, including the $350,000 for the fireworks. But again, that's just the state's cost.
All right. So how does that all break down as far as what was spent on what? And how much is coming from the Future Fund?
Yeah, what we know so far.
And just to clarify for listeners here, Seth, we are talking about after the event that this press release came out, whereas most of those costs were, it would be reasonable to expect that those costs were decided before the event, largely. Right.
And some of those bills are still coming in. The biggest individual item was the fireworks at $350,000. Travel costs for the incident management team, which included all sorts of people, firefighters and press people and others, was $125,000. There was fire engine and fire staffing costs in the tens of thousands of dollars, and lots of other costs as well. But again, those were just the state costs, and there were other agencies that had costs as well.
All right. So what do we know from the Tourism Department about that breakdown? Were you able to get with Secretary Hagan?
Yeah. Well, and all he had was the state's costs. What we still don't know, I have asked the National Park Service for their costs, and what we do know is that the Park Service spent $30,000 on a prescribed burn leading up to the event so that they could reduce the risk of fireworks falling down into the forest and sparking a wildfire. They have more costs than that, but they're still compiling those, as they told me recently. The National Park Service, of course, operates Mount Rushmore. The Forest Service also had costs. They helped with some logistical things. I was told by the Forest Service I would have to file a Freedom of Information Act request for that cost info. National Guard had a band there. The Navy had the Blue Angels flying over. They haven't responded to me when I asked for their costs. The Mayor Steve Allender of Rapid City did come out and say that Rapid City spent about $42,000 providing security and firefighting personnel for the event. Pennington County Sheriff's Office has so far declined to give me information. They were very involved in security around the protests and the arrests that were made of protesters before the event. So we know there was more than $1.5 million in costs. We just don't know how much more there was than that at this point. Mm-hmm.
Before I let you go, Seth, one more question, and that is that when we talk about the $22 million and, you know, advertising benefit, a lot of the coverage about the event was negative. Does the Tourism Department consider, you know, all mentions good mentions? How do they sort of process the fact that it, you know, did not go off, you know, universally loved?
I asked Secretary Hagan of the Tourism Department about that in an email, and he responded by email, and I gave him the example of a Washington Post headline that said that in Trump's speech, President Trump's speech at Mount Rushmore, he exploited social divisions, warned of a left-wing cultural revolution, and they described it as a dark speech. And I said, you know, the same question you ask, what about negative coverage? Did you take that into account in your estimates of the essentially the free advertising? And he responded and said the department tracks all the news stories, and it knew there would be some positive, some negative, and some neutral, but that he was extremely pleased with the significant number of positive stories and the coverage garnered. And he said that the department's goal is always to get potential visitors thinking about South Dakota, Mount Rushmore, and our other great faces and great places.
Seth Tupper joining us from SDPB's Black Hills studio today. Seth, thank you so much for the update and for all the work.
You're welcome.